Welcome back to the Lowdown on Katy Perry. Thank you guys so much for tuning in today. My name's Michael. My socials are at Katy Perry Aesthetic on Instagram and TikTok, as well as at MichaelPerry84 on Twitter if you want to reach me at all. So in today's episode, I've been really kind of lost lately in terms of, you know, this just like this podcast I haven't posted in a while. But, you know, I've been really busy with life and, like, my career, but I do love this podcast, so I still want to, like, try and, like, drop in some episodes here and there. So for today, I actually kind of, like, that's my problem. I just don't really get inspired really often. Katy's been, you know, somewhat active, I would say. I wouldn't say she's totally like off the face of the earth, you know. She's pretty active. We'll talk a little bit, but today I really wanted to focus on Katy's past. And what I mean by past is, you know, her first ever album. And no, I'm not talking about One of the Boys. I'm talking about Katy Hudson, the album. So anyways, without further ado, we'll get into it. If you guys want to hear anything from me, please send me a message. But anyways, let's get into this. So this is a pretty interesting topic because for the Katy Cat fandom, there's always just some people that love, you know, the idea of Katy when she was young. And a lot of people either know about this album and have heard it or listened to it. It's not on streaming platforms. It's not really released anywhere. Katy, I don't think, really likes to acknowledge this album or even think about it just because it's like it was released in 2001. So like this is not a part of her career whatsoever. This was, to me, seemed like a very youthful project for her. You know, as we know, you know, before she moved to Los Angeles, she was living in a very Christian conservative household. You know, a lot of the things she did were, you know, probably to please her parents and to do, you know, what she kind of could only do with her parents because she was still a minor at that time. As we saw in the Part of Me documentary, she really wanted a guitar, so she got that for her birthday, and then she started songwriting and singing and whatnot. So we kind of have a background. And I would say in the documentary, I think they briefly mentioned this album, or not really the album, but they kind of briefly mentioned the era, but they don't really get into any detail because at that time when that documentary was released, you know, it was more about the Part of Me era, and like it wasn't really about like her young life, you know. They kind of went over it quickly, but they really didn't get into any sort of detail with this album. So that's kind of where I wanted to go with today. I think this is a really great album, in my opinion. I've listened to it multiple times. I own a CD, and I'll talk about that as well. It's a Christian album. It's classified as a Christian rock, contemporary Christian album genre. And, you know, some songs are actually kind of okay, I would say. Like, some of them actually pretty hit pretty well. And then some of them you can kind of tell that they're a little bit more childish in a sense, very youthful sounding. Also, kind of all of the sounds of the songs are very early 2000s. Like, it's very, very distinctly early 2000s. And I'm talking like very early, like 2001 era. So it's kind of old sounding music, but for some people who do like the sound or who do want to listen to a Christian, you know, record, it's not the worst thing ever. Some of the songs that I like, let's just see, I want to just see them all. So there was 10 songs on this album. So it wasn't really like a huge album, even though I'm looking at the Wikipedia, and there was actually quite a few collaborators with her, you know, in terms of, like, people who wrote with her or who, you know, helped with instruments, recording, processing the music, all of that. There's actually quite a few people listed on, you know, the people working on the album. This album had 10 songs. So I'll quickly go through my favorite ones. I actually really like the first track title called Trust in Me. There's Piercing. I do like Searching. And then I also like Naturally, Faith Won't Fail. If you want to go listen to this album and you haven't heard it before, I would totally recommend it. It's pretty easy to listen to it. It's not on Spotify or Apple Music or anything like that. But if you do go to YouTube, there are a few people who have posted the entire album within one video. So you really can go listen to it for yourself and kind of make your own judgment on, you know, like how you think about what you feel about like such a young Katie writing in a Christian way. Oh my gosh, I just looked here and the last song called When There's Nothing Left is 6 minutes and 45 seconds. And I just actually, in preparation for this podcast today, played the entire album like front to back. And I kind of remember the last song being very, very long. And even some of these songs like are 5 minutes, 4 minutes. So it's definitely like an old style of album and writing and just lengthwise. Because nowadays songs end at like the 3 minute mark. Like nobody, unless it's a really big song, goes over 4 minutes anymore because of the streaming era. So this is a very... this is a relic of its time, as I would say. You really don't see this anymore. Something else I wanted to mention was that this album actually charted on not like Billboard or anything like that, obviously, but it actually did chart on something called the Radio and Records Christian Rock Chart. So the song that charted was Trust in Me, and it was actually number 17, and another song called Search Me also appeared on a different Christian chart and spent 3 weeks peaking at number 23. So like, even though this thing was a tiny little kid project, as I would describe it, it still charted on the Christian, you know, radio. So it was actually like received by the community, and the ratings are, you know, like somewhat positive, mixed, like I would say middle ground. So it wasn't the worst album, and the funny thing was, and as we've seen from, like, actual, like, you know, recordings from that era, you know, like, videotapes, she actually did kind of tour this album, which I thought was funny. So she apparently joined a tour, so it wasn't her own tour. I guess it was with a few other Christian artists who decided to tour. And it was predominantly in the United States where they toured. And I'm looking here and there are 46. No, I can't even count this right now. I'm sorry. There's just a ton of different. So like I would say over like 30 or 40 tour stops all over the US and all over many states. And then it says she also went and did her own 46 of her own solo performances afterwards. So she didn't just like release albums. She really went out there, toured, played it live. And, you know, when we see videos or images from, you know, a very young Katie singing these songs or performing, it's from this tour that she did. So she joined it's called the Strangely Normal Tour, which ran throughout pretty much all of 2001, actually from September to about the end of November 2001. So she did tour this record, which is quite a feat for a very young girl. You know, Katie was, I think 17 at this time. So she, and the way I'm calculating that is she turned 20 years old in 2004. So I guess, she was about 17 when this album was touring. So that's kind of like an interesting, I guess I would say like this is probably before she moved to California, because she did move when she was 17, as she stated. And as the, you know, Part of Me documentary talks about, this album, as soon as it was released, or actually no, before it was released, as it's saying here, the record label that was going to distribute it and promote it and everything was called Red Hill Studios or Red Hill Records. It actually went out of business before she released it, and so it really didn't get a lot of the promotion that it was promised or that it was supposed to get. So it didn't really get marketing or promotion, and apparently it only sold about 200 copies when it was first sold. So it is kind of a hard record to find on CD. If you do find it, you will pay over $100 for it, depending on where you buy it from. Because this album was just not really popular. Obviously, there's not a lot of CDs out there, and the people that do have the CDs know what they're holding, because, you know, after Katie got popular, after, you know, her whole explosion of her career, these Katie Hudson CDs actually became very kind of searched for, because a lot of fans like to, and myself including, would love to have all of, you know, their recorded music in a physical form, such as CD, vinyl, or whatever. So these CDs actually kind of went up in value a lot. People in, like, YouTube comments that I was reading said, like, they found, you know, just in some random Christian bookstore, like, the Katie Hudson CD, because obviously when she wasn't popular, this CD was worth practically nothing, because, you know, she wasn't popular, nobody really knew about the CD. They said they paid like $5 for it, and they still had it today. So it's like, it's kind of funny to see how, you know, like, an old project that she probably never expected to really ever come to light, or, you know, never expected to, like, tour the world with, a lot of her fans still love it and, you know, kind of cherish it, even though it's not, like, a really great record, even though it's not, you know, something, like, sickening, as I would like to say. It's still something that, like, we kind of cherish, you know, just because we do love her as a person now. But this is a part of her history and as a part of her career, even though it wasn't under the same name. This was released under Katie Hudson, and obviously she's Katy Perry now, so it's not really tied to her career anymore. And even when we count her records or the number of albums she has, nobody ever counts Katie Hudson, because it's kind of like just a very gray area, and very just, I guess, like, the typical person doesn't know about this album. You really have to be a Katie Cat who has researched, who has heard about it, who has listened to it, to kind of know about this album and or respect it. So that's kind of the interesting part of it. Like, this was just Katie's first attempt, you know, in music. And I think that's something to, like, cherish. And, you know, I really wish she would one day, like, just acknowledge this album and, you know, like, sing one of her songs off of it. Like, I feel like even though it's outdated, even though some of the songs are, you know, very youthful, I think there's actually quite a few good songs in here that could be revamped or, you know, rejigged for 2022 or 2023, right? So it's kind of a interesting dilemma. Some people love it, some people don't like it, but either way, we have to, like, cherish it. I think that's my ultimate point here. It's old, but it's cherished. So if you haven't heard it, honestly, it's a pretty interesting listen. Obviously, if you're religious, you might actually, like, understand or kind of get into it, but if you're not, you know, it's still an interesting listen, I would say, to see what she talks about when she's so young. And, you know, it's really interesting to hear the 2001 sound of the music. And, you know, it's, you know, if you just have time, like, it's just called Katie Hudson Album on YouTube, and you can hear the whole thing. So I would totally go do that, and, you know, just let me know what you think, if you like it, if you don't like it. But yeah, it's an interesting topic, and we don't talk about it ever, usually, because it doesn't matter to us, but I think it's pretty cool, and I think everyone should at least hear it once and see what they say. So I did get a CD, like I said, I did get a CD, and I paid, like, it's kind of embarrassing because it's like you really paid I think I paid like 120 something for this CD, which is like lame, like, because it's like, obviously I don't play it very often, obviously the music's not, you know, very popular, so like it's more for my collection. I do have a collection of CDs, I have a collection of vinyls, so I really like to have a full, you know, collection of everything. Currently to date, I have about everything except for I'm really struggling to find Prism on vinyl. It's really expensive nowadays because it hasn't been released on vinyl in many, many years. I think since like probably its release in 2013. So it's been very difficult to find. No record stores just have it in stock anymore. So Katie will probably have to release a re-release of the vinyl. And I'm really pissed off because maybe it was like 3 or 4 years ago, I saw it in one of my local record stores for about $60. And I was like, wow, that is so expensive. There is no way I'm paying $60 for this record. And now if I saw this record on for $60, I would scoop it up in a minute because it is just so expensive and hard to find. So I'm like kicking myself because I'm like, why didn't you scoop that up when you had the chance? But you know, it is what it is. You live and you learn. If I ever see it again, I would totally grab it. But now it's like, it's just crazy expensive. Like people want like $200 for a vinyl. Like it's just too much money for me to like, you know, really invest. Even though, yes, I did spend $100 and something on a CD of a really old Katie album. I just think it's a little bit more special. Excuse me, because it's just like harder to find. So when I did find it and the price wasn't like astronomical, I was like, maybe I'll grab it. And I kind of was thinking about getting it for a while, so you know, it worked out. But yeah, that's the only one I'm missing, which kind of sucks. Yeah, so that's kind of about the first Katie era aside from One of the Boys. Let's see what else we have to discuss. So there's not much news in terms of new music. All that we've heard is that Katie said she is going to eventually start working on a new album. There's no really solid dates or solid dates for a new, you know, single or anything like that. So for now, we're just kind of sitting tight, probably going to get through this holiday season, possibly next spring or summer. Maybe Katie will decide to release something, so we'll be waiting for that. She did go through some really rough criticism this past month on Twitter. She and on Instagram, she tweeted out her support for a candidate for a Los Angeles mayoral election. That's the word. And the candidate that she decided to sponsor slash like post about, I guess, is someone that a lot of people in LA just really hate and don't like because he is, you know, he apparently was a Republican and then he switched, and they're saying that it's only so that he could get elected that he even switched to Democrats. So it's just kind of like, it was kind of a mess. She was trending on Twitter, about 40,000 tweets. And then just people were being very rude and like nasty towards her. So, you know, she's kind of had a rough couple weeks on Twitter. But she did come back because she did perform at the CMA Awards with Thomas Rhett. Great performance, great looks. So I think she's pretty good now with like receiving criticism after, you know, witness and everything. So I don't think it affected her at all, but you know, it's just kind of like, it's hard for the fans to watch her go through that. And you know, like it's hard for us to defend her sometimes. So it doesn't seem like we're gonna have any new music anytime soon unless she decides to surprise release something. And you know, she's just taking her time focusing on Daisy, just focusing on being a mom and her other smaller projects. Her shoe line is doing really well, you know, she's got really great other projects. But yeah, hopefully we'll get some new music soon. It's been a while since Smile, and it's been almost a year since When I'm Gone, so it's really time for something new, I would say. I think, you know, Katie, no matter what direction she goes in for her new album and for her new era, hopefully, you know, it'll be something that makes her happy, and hopefully it's something that, you know, can thrive on TikTok. Katie really needs to work on her TikTok presence because TikTok literally revived Meghan Trainor's career, and has her old songs have consistently been trending on TikTok and in audios because she's active on TikTok. She's a main player on TikTok. She has a lot of followers on TikTok. She's personable on TikTok. Katie does have, you know, somewhat of a TikTok, small TikTok presence, but I think that if she was just herself on TikTok, in person, funny, just everything, I just think everything she's posted so far has mainly been, you know, like advertisements for something, or just very curated, very like, just seems like very fake. I think if she could really just bring out her personality that we all know and love, but you know, that would be really funny on TikTok, I think that would really work for her. And I really hope that she does, you know, try to get more into that direction, because I think it really could help with her music and promotion and all of that. So we will see. It's going to be a new year. If I don't speak to you, I do wish you a happy holidays with whatever holiday you celebrate. Please take time to be with your families and take time to relax off of work, school, if you can. And just, you know, keep holding out. Maybe we'll get some great music next year. I'm really hoping so. And hopefully another tour, because we really haven't seen her outside of the US in a very long time. And it's kind of hard because a lot of us really want to go to another tour. So hopefully something soon. Anyways, for today, thank you guys so much for listening. I am so happy that you guys still come on and listen to my dusty voice. And I hope today's episode was interesting. And if you have any questions, if you have any comments for me, please DM me or, you know, tweet me, and I'll be happy to chat or anything. Anyways, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and have a great evening, have a great morning, have a great whenever when you're listening to this, and I'll see you later. Bye.